AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuck boy. The number one fuck boy. The number one fuck brat. 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 The number one fuck boy, Johnny G. John Gabrus. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabrus. Arthur, shout out. Yeah, that's your boy, Chicho Manfredi right there. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios for the first time. Longtime friend, longtime compatriot, longtime listener, first time caller slash guest, Kate Spencer. Kate, thanks for joining me.
Can I just say that watching you do the intro and adds a whole new element to listening to you shout fuck boy when I listen to podcasts?
It's like a real thing.
It's
that
very aggressive.
Turns out.
Yeah, you were like,
I was doing the Rollins mic grab, the Henry Rollins like double fist the mic.
That's a good.
I got into it on this one.
Yeah, but I enjoyed watching it and not just listening to it.
Every time I go to do it, I say to myself, "Ooh, you should like do something a little different this time." That could be the thing, is that you do it slightly different every time. Then I think I am. And then when I listen back, if I listen back, I'm like, oh, that's what I do every time.
It is very, yes, that was very similar to what I've heard previously. Yeah. But watching you kind of move your body into it, you should just also video record it for any.
Yeah, that would be fans. An amazing sizzle reel if I had like a montage of me doing that 100 times. Excuse me. Kate, I'm looking forward to getting into our happy, fun
positive
topic.
Humorous, hilarious.
So, we've done beer, vacations, Harry Potter, and now dead moms.
Dead moms. Let's fucking, which Harry Potter has, which if you have a dead mom, you want to drink a lot of beer and you fucking deserve a vacation.
Oh, shit.
I'm just going to tie it into everything.
So you're familiar with the film Commando. Arnold Schwarzenegger definitely has a dead mom.
For sure. Listen.
He's just too old to not have one.
That is like any time I'm looking for an excuse for someone's mental issues or aggressive issues, dead mom.
Oh, yeah. I could.
Or my own issues.
Yeah. It turns out you're the aggressive one.
Yes. Oh, very. Conveniently, my mom died, so I can blame everything on that.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, my dad died before we resolved anything so that I could constantly. Well, we'll get into that more, but first.
Thanks to our parents.
Thank you, parents. Yes. And in case my mom figures out how to listen to a podcast and starts with this one. Don't worry, Mom. This isn't a predictive episode. That would be really funny. She's like, Jonathan, I went to listen to one of your podcasts. And what's this? This is all about. This is all about dead mothers. All right. Sorry. All right. So as always, I'm going to read some 5-star reviews of my podcast. So listeners, shitheads, new people who are tuning in because they like Kate Spencer. Here's the deal. If you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called now, I will read it. Whatever this is called. I'll read it on mic. All right, this one is from Spunk Nut, and the title is Too Much. Johan Garbaggio, playing off the success of his character Jumbo Haynes, good shout out to Bajillion Dollar Properties, invites moderately interesting guests to his apartment so he can shout at them for 2 hours about how much beer and weed he can consume. If you're tired of hearing Garbaggio's voice, that's too bad. Since he can't land any other gigs, he is literally on every comedy podcast spouting his racist and alt-right viewpoints ad nauseum. Him and his fuckboys need to go back to Jersey and drown in the Hudson. 5 stars.
Wow. I mean, you're from Long Island, so that guy.
And people know that, and that's what they're doing that on purpose.
I see.
So the only thing, I'll take whatever shit you want to give me. I'll even take the Jersey joke, but stop calling me alt-right. You can continue to call me racist. That's fine.
Only alt-right is an insult.
Right.
Was a good one. I liked that one.
Yeah, that one was good. Johan Garbaggio is actually probably going to end up being what I tour as.
Johan Garbaggio.
Here's a good one from the review is called 5 stars from Jerpow 999. John Garbus isn't great at this. So simple.
To the point. Garbus. That is also often when I think your name in my head, I think Garbus.
When way back in the day, you asked me what my. You didn't know what my first name was.
I thought it was Peter because of Peter Gabriel.
Exactly.
Which I still sometimes am like, it's John. It's John.
You were like, is it Peter? I'm like, I think you're thinking that because it sounds like Peter Gabriel.
It does sound like Peter Gabriel. For about a year, I thought you were Peter Gabrus.
I feel like I should have a linguistics or alphabet special, a letters expert on here. Because even though it's written out Gabrus, however you want to phonetically, it's 6 letters long. It's often not even typed wrong, but it's always read wrong. People always say Garbus. And I wonder if it's because there's some weird disconnect of the B and the R.
Probably. What is Gabrus? What is that?
This is a great question.
Yeah, I've never.
That's I should do 23andMe, first of all. I need to do
yes.
that.
Yes.
Because the reason, and I think if I mentioned this on the podcast before, I'm sorry, but my dad's real dad, who's John Gabrus the First. Abandoned him when he was young.
Okay.
And my dad wrote him off for the rest of his life, never saw him again. And then my dad's mom remarried and had three. So there's three. My dad has a brother and a sister, each with the last name Gabrus. And then they had 3 brothers with a different last name from the new dad. So we never knew what, my dad was raised, and this is going to sound like an insane sentence, but my dad was raised in a culturally German house because his stepdad, my grandpa, Horst Kraling, was from.
I shouldn't lie. That's a very normal German name.
It's a very normal German.
Yeah. Revealing my horrible Americanness, yeah.
He moved to America and learned English and joined the army and stuff.
Wow.
And that was my dad's stepdad, so he was raised culturally German. So our whole lives we were German from him, and then from Joanne Valentino, my mom.
Oh yeah.
We were Italian, so we're like, oh, we're Italian and German. And then one day Tiffany kind of pointed it out when we first started dating. She's like, well, technically, you're not blood German because that's your dad's stepdad. And I was like, oh, then. And then we asked my dad what his dad was. And he's like, I don't know. So we look, if you look up Gabrus, it's Eastern European. It's Eastern Bloc, sort of.
Interesting.
But it also means group of dudes in the Punjabi language.
What? Shut up.
I swear to God, Gabru, Gabru, is a bro in Punjabi culture.
Well, that works.
If you look up hashtag Gabrus on Instagram, it's either pictures of me or pictures of like five dudes with like turbans all dressed up, like ready to party.
That is amazing.
And I'm sorry if I'm confusing Sikh or Punjabi because I'm not really sure, but I think Punjabi is the language, whatever. But they're dudes in like turbans out going out to the club and stuff like that. And it says like Gabris party, all this stuff. Yeah.
Wow, that's perfect.
I know, it makes total sense. How can I be fucking alt-right if my last name means group of Punjabi dudes?
Take that, spunk nut.
Hey, spunk nut.
Spunk
get
nut.
Get lost. Well, that's it for reviews, guys. As always, if you rate me 5 stars and roast me in the comments, I will read your roast on the air. This is not the air, but you know what this is.
That's close.
It's hard not to say stuff like that. You and I both grew up listening to talk radio. You're a big Howard head.
Big Stern Show fan, and a lot of NPR and a lot of pods.
Oh, yeah. I grew up, I think that's why I was so ready for podcasts when it came out, because my dad listened to Howard and Opie and Anthony and Mike and the Mad Dog every day.
My mom was a Stern and Imus fan.
My dad listened to Imus too.
It wasn't that gross. I mean,
imagine having that shit pumping in your. And my dad worked. He left for work at 2 p.m. every day. So he was home blasting it all day. He would like work out and do chores around the house with just
Imus and
Imus, Mike and the Mad Dog, which was like a New York.
Yeah, I know Mad Dog. Well, yeah. From the Sour Shoes' impression on the Star Show, yeah. Which is very good. I don't know anything about who
Mike Francesca.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Yes.
So we grew up listening to talk radio, so and it turns out you and Tiff have that in common, that you're big Stern heads.
Yeah, I still listen to Howard all day and all night.
That's so like, awesome. Do you listen to classic episodes? He's only doing like 3 a week.
Yeah,
three
it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, but then
best
wrap
schedule
up
in the business.
He has worked it out well. I mean, it took a while.
He earned it.
Yeah, he's been working for 40 years or whatever, but yes. I will listen to old stuff.
Sternthology.
I like Sternthology. I like.
Is it Rashad who keeps? What's his name?
Rashan. Yeah. Who does wrap up? Yeah. I guess he does Sternthology too.
Right. Yeah,
we should
in charge of the archives.
Are we talking only about this?
I mean, but if I was more confident in my knowledge, that this would be an equally great topic.
I would.
But you don't have a book about Stern. Coming
I don't.
Out.
And you should. Jason Manzoukas is a really good Stern person.
Oh yeah. We did. We did that Gary Delabate monologue.
Yes,
show.
That's right.
That
and you really know fun. What I. To bring it to my dead mom, so I used to work at VH1 and I was an on-air host and I would interview a ton of celebrities, right? Like I was always at red carpets, I've been to the Oscars, and when people ask like who my favorite interview is, I got to interview Gary at Comic-Con, and it was really emotional for me because my mom and I shared a love of the Stern Show. And afterwards, I posted about it on my Tumblr. This was in 2012 when I was still tumbling. And he found it and he wrote me a nice email because his dad died. And he lost his brother. But he found it and wrote me a really nice message.
Because you wrote
about
something
it.
Like, this was a connection between me and my mom. This was after your mother had passed.
It was,
right?
Yes, it was after my mom had died.
Because I knew you
like,
I knew you sort of when your mom passed away.
It was 2007 when she died.
Yeah, yeah, I was like around the theater at that point.
For sure. You were probably on a Herald team then.
Yeah, I think so. I think I got put on in like 05 or 06.
Yeah.
It's so fucking. But long. That's so to go back to the. Yeah, by the way, the fact that was like 11 years ago is crazy. Hashtag bye, Chelsea. Sick email. Hey, you guys are allowed to post social media.
Inside UCB references, but our home theater is closing in New York. And it's sad for everybody.
It's so sad. Yeah. I'm glad I did one last Ask Cat there like last month, but I don't think I'm going to get to do another show there ever again.
No, I'm not. My last show there was in like 2011. Oh. Or maybe, yeah.
Goodbye. Goodbye, sweet Chelsea.
I loved it so much, though.
I'm sorry. So that's good. You wrote a little post about like...
I did, well, because for me, it was like of all... There's so much shit that happened. You know, my mom died in 2007 and so much shit's gone on in my life. And of things, you know, I want to tell her. We were really close. But it was
up to and including marriage, two kids, all that.
Yeah, she missed all of that. Yeah. And... But like the one thing I really would have loved to tell her is that I got to meet Gary Delabate. Like she would have really loved that.
Oh, that's so cool.
You know, she wouldn't really give a shit about George Clooney, but you know, I got to meet Fafa Flohi. And so, when the Stern Show movie came out, we like went and saw a midnight showing of
Private Parts?
Yeah, we went and saw Private Parts together at the Chestnut Hill Mall Theater in Newton, Massachusetts.
That's so awesome. That's funny. I think about that. Because I talk about my dad so much on the Action Boys podcast I do at Rogers and Stanger, because it's all action movies, and that was like our only point of
connection growing up was me and my dad both loved like Van Damme and Seagal.
When did your dad die?
He died in, I got married in October 2011. He died in June 2011. He
oh
died
God,
like
he
a
died
couple months.
Right before your wedding?
Yeah, right before my bachelor party.
And it was a heart attack?
No, brain cancer.
That's right. Yeah. I knew that. Okay.
Yeah, and your mom was cancer as well, right?
Also, the fun party that is cancer. She was pancreatic cancer.
That's like the one, that's the one they say is like, if you have that, that's the one, that's Patrick Swayze.
That's Patrick Swayze. That's Michael Landon.
It's the one that is like uncurable. Like, or
it's basically
right,
fucking doomed. Yeah. Yeah. And she knew, my mom knew probably better than the rest of us, but she was like, she loved Michael Landon, star of Bonanza and Little House on the Prairie. And also, I think a show about angels.
Possibly.
I don't remember. Do you know who I'm talking about, right? Michael Landon?
I think I'm getting confused with Patrick Duffy.
Patrick Duffy, from Step by Step. I think he's still alive.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
that's the cruel part of this world. Patrick Duffy's alive and Landon and your mom are dead.
I fucking marvel at this every day where it's like, who gets to live and who gets to die? It makes no sense.
It's really fucked up.
Yeah. You just look around and you're like, oh, for real, you fucking got to stay? And my mom had to kick it in a really shitty way. I mean, just the...
Both of my dad's half-brothers are constantly close to death. Like, my uncle has had, like... He has, like, a titanium throat. Like, he has, like, all... Oh, he has, like, throat cancer, lung cancer, this cancer, that... And he keeps surviving.
Yeah.
He keeps drinking and he keeps smoking. And then my other uncle is, like, overweight and going through the same shit. And it's, like, my dad was, like, a health nut. He drank... He was an alcoholic, but he... He mostly drank red wine, which I guess is antioxidant.
It's good for you.
You drink two bottles of $8 red wine a night, that's okay.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a legit lush, and not like ever like slurring, just repetitive and as my mom would call it, diarrhea in the mouth. You know your father, he has diarrhea in the mouth again.
But that's not going to cause brain cancer.
No. I think that was, just the shit you get it.
Yeah.
You know?
And how long did he live for after he got it?
They gave him 6 months, then he had surgery, and then he lived like another year. But the hard part about brain cancer, and it's not like a pissing contest, but you lose your personality before you die. You know what I mean? Like, my dad, the reason we found out he had brain cancer is like all this, I don't think I've ever really talked about this, but all this fucking crazy ass shit. Like, he was driving home, he worked in New York City, he drove to and from the city. He like was driving home from New York City, got lost. We couldn't find him for like a day. His car was on fire in like a McDonald's parking lot in like Queens.
And was he just sitting there or did he wander
off? Yeah, he was just sitting in the car and he was like, oh, I got to get home. And like my uncle went and found him and was like, John, come on, I'll give you a ride home. He's like, yeah, I got to stay here with my car. And he had just like lost his mind.
Yeah.
And then he had surgery and he bounced back a little bit and he was like a little bit more with it. And then like he became like an adult child, like an adult baby.
And how long was he the adult baby for?
Like a couple of months.
Yeah, that's really hard to see your
And my mom
that
did
way.
It in home hospice. I think I've said this on the podcast
We've
before.
We've talked about this.
Highly recommend not doing that.
It was, I'm glad we did, and it's what my mom wanted, but it was a true fucking nightmare. It was so hard. We only did it for 2 weeks, 2 months sounds.
Yeah, it was brutal.
Yeah.
And my mom is a nurse, so we had a lot of like, she was in charge of a lot of stuff, and we were like, changing my dad and it's like you don't need to be doing that shit. I was 30 something when it was, I was like early 30s when it was going down. My youngest brother was like, my dad died like a month after my brother graduated college.
Yeah, that's
like
nuts.
My dad came to his college graduation in a wheelchair and wasn't talking or anything like that.
Seeing your parents like that is very unsettling because that same thing happened with my mom. It was not as long. But
your parents were still together.
Right? Yes. They married when they were like 20 and they were still into each other when she, like, they were real wackadoos.
Freaks.
Freaks. How dare they love each other so
These
much?
Freaks.
No, they were really close. And my brother and I both moved home when she got diagnosed because it was stage 4 when she was diagnosed and we just knew it was going to be bad.
Yeah, like, might as well be.
Yeah, bad. You know, most people don't live a year.
It's like Vermont or something where you're from? Like,
you know,
New Hampshire?
I'm from Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
But it's all the same.
Yeah, it all blends. Once you leave New York City, to me, it's
That's
all
what
Connecticut.
All you people from New York. Don't, Connecticut is part of New England, but shouldn't count. Especially the part near New York, anyway, where are Yankees fans. But I digress.
Go
yeah,
Yankees.
We lived in Boston. We were outside Boston.
Oh, okay.
So I just moved. I just like quit my job.
Did you go to school in one of the other New England states?
I did. I went
you
to school
went to
in Maine.
Maine Bowdoin, yeah. Right?
Bates. Oh, come on.
Bates?
Yes.
Is Bates. That the female Bowdoin? Is Bates a sister school or am I just
no,
projecting
No, but
that?
There are three schools up there filled with identical white people.
Yeah, it's like all crunchy.
It's
right?
Crunchy, preppy. Yes, that was my, yeah. It's and it's a lot of like, the farthest south people come from is like Jersey and Maryland. And there's like
and those
one.
Are freaks.
Yeah. I had one friend from Texas who was scared of driving near snowbanks. She's still one of my best friends.
That's awesome.
But yeah. So we moved
home. So you guys
home.
Moved home.
Yeah, but hospice, but seeing when you're like in your 20s and we all know our parents are going to die, but it feels early to me anyway. I was like, this isn't supposed to happen for another 30 years, right? Like when I'm 40 or 50, my parents will die. So I was just not prepared. And then to see them deteriorate and then you're doing shit like, you know, giving your mom an enema or like they can't pee on their own or then their mental state goes. It's really, it's just like,
it's hard.
Yeah, it fucks up the order of things in your brain. And
100%.
And your peers, most peers don't get it, right? Like most people I knew had not been through it.
I would say like the thing that happened to me after I went through it was I didn't have patience for people upset that their grandparents or pets were dying. And
yeah.
I have been since upset about I didn't have any living grandparents. My dad died. All four of my grandparents died before my dad died.
Okay.
So like I have, and we don't really talk to my dad's side of the family.
Right.
So I have like a mom and an aunt now.
Okay.
But I remember being like, someone was like really like, my 85-year-old grandpa just went to the hospital. And I was like, that's what's supposed to happen. I like,
yeah.
That's all I could think in my head was like, fucking count your blessings. He has 30 more years than my dad did.
Yeah.
You know?
No, My mom got cancer. All four of my grandparents were alive. My mom's mom died 6 weeks before my mom died.
Shit, you just reminded me that my grandpa actually was sick and then died a couple of months after my dad because he came to my wedding and then had to leave early.
Oh,
I just remembered that. My last living grandparent. Oh, fuck.
The German?
No, this was Papa Jimmy Valentino.
Oh, shit.
From Queens.
Oh, my God.
From Florence into Queens.
Oh.
He carried a comb with him until he was 80.
Of course
combed
he
his
did.
Hair every day. He
oh.
looked, he's a fuck. He has the most insane manner. I should do an episode about Jimmy Valentino. He'd always be like, hey, you know, they gave it to me on the arm. He was like old school, like mafia Italian,
yeah.
But worked in TV. Was a freight elevator operator for
that sounds about
a union
right.
job for Fox.
I'm a quarter Italian American on my dad's side, and it's
and you have like that one grandparent.
Well, no, mine was my grandma, and she was not like that. They weren't. I don't think they were like well connected enough to be mafia.
I don't
Italians.
Think he was mafia either, but he only spoke like that. And
yes.
Always, and whenever he would talk about someone who was, he would put his finger on the side of his nose, and he'd be talking to my dad. He's like. Well, you know what they say about Enzo. He's got one of these,
oh.
You know, and it's like he's crooked.
The only thing my grandmother knew how to say in Italian because she purposely didn't learn it was ugly face. And she thought it was a term of affection until my uncle told her it wasn't because that's what her mom used to call her. It was like ferme bruta or something is what she called my daughter. And my uncle was like, you know, that means like busted face. She was like, that's what my mom used to say.
Oh, that's rough. That's
Italians
rough.
Are, they're hardened people as Italian Americans.
Yeah, there's something about, like, there's also, like, they still believe themselves to be persecuted. And so
that was such a theme with my grandma. Yeah, because she was, she really thought that the people were.
Yeah, my grandpa was like.
Yeah, which I think she saw her parents experience. But like by the time we rolled around, like we are fully assimilated.
I didn't have the heart when I was like 14 to say to my grandpa, I think black people have it worse.
Yeah,
than
no,
us.
They don't think so.
No. Or at least, hey, can you see your attitudes towards black people are probably the attitudes you faced when you moved here? Like, do you not see this cycle of abuse?
I don't think we could get into the
let's get
the
back
larger
to-
cultural implications of that because I don't think many Americans do.
No. Let's get back to we almost got off topic to something fun like racial persecution. So let's get
back to
dead parents.
Yeah. Oh, good topic. Good topic.
Yeah. Here's something I'm interested in with this. The you don't realize how much your parents were helping each other, were helping you deal. Like, how do I phrase this? I didn't realize how much my dad was helping my mom not annoy us. Like, she's now completely unchecked, and I didn't realize how much work he must have been doing behind the scenes. Or I, like, it fucks up the dynamic.
Yeah, well, the reason we're talking about this, I wrote a book about dead moms, right?
Yeah, when does it hit stores?
It comes out November 21st. It's called The Dead Moms Club, but anyone can read it.
Get on it.
Get on my book. But I talk about that because it throws everything off so much, and yes, the uncheckedness of my dad was fascinating. It was like, oh, I had no idea you couldn't care for yourself. That right, my mom was essentially doing everything for him, and not in a bad way. Like, he worked a full-time job and was, you know, really successful. She did not work, but he the adjustments that he had to make in his life were huge, and then I heard about them for the first time. Like, I had never knew that this was their
dynamic. Right, that's the same thing. My dad did everything in the family, all the cleaning and cooking and all that stuff, but also worked. My mom worked full-time too. And when my dad passed, I had no idea how little my mom was capable of doing things. You know, I always knew she was kind of like, flitty is not the word, but like ditzy and like, oh, carefree or whatever. But I didn't realize how much she just didn't know how to do. So our house is like, going home, if she listens to this, I'm going to have a serious conversation with her. But our going home to my childhood home is like gross now.
Because it's just, she isn't cleaning it up.
It's not taken care of. I mean, we have a cleaning lady. She has a cleaning lady. She has all like the upper middle class bullshit, but it's still like, you go down in the laundry room and it's like tons of laundry. My mom refuses to throw she became, and apparently this happens a lot with like a partner's death, she became sort of a hoarder.
This is so interesting to me.
So apparently, like, she doesn't want to throw anything out because every single thing from this house is like puzzle piece in the memory of my father.
And she's not remarried. Does she date?
She does not.
Is she interested?
I don't think so. She has like, she's like, never, we asked her and she's like, no. My mom's overweight and like has a bunch of friends and does a lot of, she has like a full blown social calendar.
I'm sure, yeah.
She's like traveling all the time, you know, like the way a Long Island woman travels. Like, we're going to the Bahamas, we come back, we're going down to Florida, we're going to Charlotte, we're going to spa weekend in Pennsylvania. Yeah, like, that's the kind of shit my mom does. She's like, have you ever been to Charleston? We're going to go down to Charleston. I was like, have fun, Joanne.
But if my dad had been the one who died, I don't think my mom would have remarried. She had the same network of friends. She would have been very happy. My dad is remarried.
Oh. How was that, the dating stuff? It's been a while now.
Right? It was awkward. He remarried. I mean, he didn't remarry, but he started dating not too long after my mom died. And my stepmom, I really like. I was very relieved that she had no children. And also that she wasn't like 30, so they're not going to have children together. You know, she's old, not older, but she's younger than my dad. But she's great.
She's age appropriate.
It didn't leave me feeling icky. Yeah. I don't think he could function without a partner. I think he really likes having someone with him.
I think that happens for a lot of people. Yeah. I think that happens for.
And I feel like it happens more for men than women.
Yeah, I think you might be right. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, because my mom was like my dad's best friend, but my mom had a million other best friends. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But he kind of only
had... dad wasn't very social. Like, he had a couple of like work buddies, but he'd rather just like work on the house.
Yeah.
And if my mom died, my dad would be like, you know, like just dive into his work and we would never see him again.
Oh, interesting.
Like that.
Okay.
It would be my guess. It's just so crazy how that dynamic shifts, right?
It's like, bizarre, yeah.
Also, did you have any like sibling?
I have a younger brother.
Did that dynamic shift at all?
We're really close, but it was more like, and this is a thing that I talk about that stood out to me, was like, well, now there's only one woman who's me. There's one parent, and then my brother is an introvert. He and my mom were really similar. They were both introverted. They both really got each other. And my dad and I are like needy, talkative, clingy, like, you know, anxious. And my brother and my mom were just exactly the same. So I think he felt, I don't want to like project it, but I think he felt now his person who got him in the family was gone. And he was just surrounded by these two annoying, like, let's talk about it types. Yeah. And so we were all just missing a person who got us. You know what I mean? We had to like relearn.
That was a little something that I had, even though I didn't have a great relationship with my dad because he was cold and kind of mostly a pain in the ass. And I moved out as soon as I could and all that. And he wasn't around much because he worked 3 to 11 my whole life.
So what did he do?
He worked at Fox 5 as a stagehand.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, for the 10 o'clock news in New York. The thing was, though, he's maybe the only person in my family, and I didn't realize this until he passed away, that kind of understood my career, or like at least the choices. And because he was a fan of movies and TV and read the paper every day and all that shit, I think I always talk about this dude. My dad worked with this dude named Chris Murphy, who was like, I can't even explain him, but he's like a character from like he's like a character from like When Harry Met Sally. He's like this giant dude with Sally Jesse Raphael glasses. He's like 6'6". He's like he lived in the West Village and he had a Japanese wife and they like had Japanese like tea, like they had tea ceremonies every day.
Oh, sound great.
And he was like, he knew everything about every movie. And I would go and I was like, I would go to work with my dad like once a month and get union rates, like helping out.
Well,
like,
you would go work?
Yeah, I would go legit work and make like $200 a night.
That's great.
And I would go and he would just be like, John, to me, Johnny, have you seen this movie? And I'd be like, yes. And we would just, I would like rattle. And I was like, my dad kind of was in that world too, like the pop culture world. So I remember one time I was like, yeah, I did this thing. It's not a big deal. And he's like, but it's one of those things where like, it was good that you met other people. I was like, yes, yes. And now whenever I tell my mom about something I'm doing, she's like, and are you flying yourself there? No. Do they pay for the flight? Yeah. Do you have to pay for cabs? No. Do you have to pay for food? Yes. They don't give you a food budget? You know, it's like, Joanne, this is not what this is about.
Yeah.
Need to get the perfect picture for that blog post, the ultimate image for that Instagram meme. Want your tweet to go viral? Maybe it needs a stock picture. Well, I'll tell you what, Storyblocks is a great new service for all that. Look, it's subscription-based and unlimited download. So Storyblocks is the first and only stock media company offering unlimited free downloads of member library content. Woo! Then you get a marketplace where you can buy some extra stuff that isn't there, but the annual fee is only $150. You can join the member library and you have access to thousands upon thousands upon thousands of pictures. Do yourself a favor and get yourself over to storyblocks.com/mighty to try it for 7 days. That's Storyblocks, storyblocks.com/mighty to download anything from the 400,000 images and unlock discounts on a million more. Storyblocks.com/mighty. You royalty-free content for commercial and personal projects. New images are added regularly. Download all the stock your heart desires. Member library. 400,000 photos, vectors, textures, icons. Whatever you may need, they will have it. Storyblocks.com/mighty.
Did that make you feel sad that your dad hasn't seen your like creative career?
Cause yeah, that's a bummer. I think he would like a lot of the stuff. Yeah,
and you would and
he was like secretly proud of me. He would never have let me know that. God forbid, because that would have given me confidence or some sort of connection. Yeah, yeah. But like after the fact, it'd be like, you know, like at my dad's funeral, I'd be like, your dad always said you were very funny and you were gonna make it. And I was like, you know, the fucking guy could have told me.
I know. It's that weird feeling of like unfinished business.
Yeah, I know. It's like come back to life for like 2 days and it's gonna be mostly business. Like, you know, like it's so sad. Like if my dad was alive, what would you talk to him about? I want just hash out like three problems.
Yeah, I think about that. Like my mom and I had a really good relationship. So I don't feel like there was anything left unsaid or that I didn't feel like I knew how she felt about me, yeah, that sort of thing. But it's like, oh, I have all this shit now I could show you that I did. You died when I was not a loser, but like I was flailing. I had no idea what I was doing in my life. I was in credit card debt. Yeah. And like now I'm kind of okay. And like you don't know.
And now we're not even talking about the fact that you have your own family now that like.
Yeah.
Like a grandma. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh, for sure. I think about that a lot.
Yeah, Tiff's dad just died this summer too. So we're in a situation where, when we have kids, we want to. no grandpas. Like Tiff's Tiff's mom is married because they got divorced before Tiff's dad died. So she's remarried to this great, great guy. Awesome dude. But like, he's going to be our kid's grandpa.
Yeah. I mean, both my kids have grandmothers who are my husband's mom is also dead. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
My husband, his mom died in 2002.
Anthony King, guest on maybe episode 16, the one with Will Hines talking about deep cuts about improv. Yeah.
sounds about right. Yeah. So we both have, they're not our real moms, but they're great grandmothers.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, my kids are like kind of aware that these other women existed, but for all intents and purposes, these are their grandmas.
Yeah.
And they love them, and it's
great.
Yeah, it's great. But you always know, you know, I always in the back of my brain, I'm just like, oh, what would my mom have been like with these kids? And I see bits of her in my kids, and that's just, you know, if you want to get weepy about something, that's where I go when I'm in the mood to cry and feel angry all the time.
My mom's mom died when I was like young, before even my youngest brother was born. And that's all my mom always talked about was like, I wish grandma would have seen you guys.
Yeah.
Because she like loved us, she, you know. I don't want to get teary, but is there anything that you find yourself doing or as a parent now where you're like, holy shit, I'm channeling my mom?
Well, someone just asked me this yesterday. I was on another podcast with my astrologer.
All right, sorry, cut the tape.
This topic is over. What is terrifying that I have found as I get older is I can hear, like, I fucking say the same phrases. I yell at my kids the same way. I do the same annoying shit. It's like burned in
me. You ever get shit from your kids that is the same shit you gave your mom as a kid?
Already it's starting. And they are going to hate me so much. Because my mom and I, we were like best friends. But from the age of like 11 to 20, it was really rough.
Yeah.
We fought really intensely.
I don't want to speak on Tiff's behalf too much, but I think that's a little bit of what she had. And it's because her and her mom were so similar, and now they're like best friends.
Exactly.
But they fight like they're like sisters more than they are like mom and daughter.
We were really, I think my mom and I knew how to push each other's buttons probably. No, I
and now your girls are kind of doing the same.
Oh my God. Oh my fucking God, I'm so screwed. But yeah, I mean, I go in and sometimes I like, my mom used to come into my room and sing like Morning Has Broken to wake me up. Like she would fuck with me in that way. And now I do that to my kids all the time. And I'm just like, I hated this shit. But I can feel it coming out. It's just like your parents burn all their shit onto you. And then you can't stop it. It just, when you have kids, you just become them in a lot of ways.
Right. It's terrifying because then you like, not to get too into it, but then you see how like, abuse doesn't stop. You know what I mean?
Also, I beat my kids.
I was about to say, like, the positive shit you get from your mom, it's like, imagine shit was very fucked up for you.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it's so hard. This stuff it's imprinted on you.
Yeah.
Just
like my parents were not affectionate with each other at all. So, like, I didn't even know about that as, like, a relationship dynamic.
So then how do you change that? Because I think my dad raised me differently than he was raised. And I...
My dad raised me, like, a quarter of the way. Like, my dad was in a very abusive household.
Yeah.
And I was in a minorly abusive household. Like, way better than what he got.
Like, physical abuse?
He got, like, for real bad physical abuse from his stepdad his whole life. I got, like, verbal and, you know, smacked, but like, not, like, beat. But, like, my dad would come into the room if he had three boys. It's like, I'm totally Stockholm syndrome. I'm like, he had three boys. You know how hard that is?
Just smacked, not beaten.
Yeah, he would like walk into the room and be like, whack, 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 everyone, shut up, and then leave.
Wow.
And
we'd
be like,
ugh!
And then he would leave in the door show and be like, fuck you, me and my brothers, like crying, holding our arms and our butts,
God,
going like, fuck you, man.
But you don't, I mean, I would never assume that that's how you're going to parent.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, I feel like we also have the ability to inherently know that that's wrong.
Yeah, it helps. Actually, sometimes having something that's so easily pinpointed as wrong.
Yeah, like you can.
That is so obviously wrong.
Yeah.
I can't ever, like. But then there's like the minor shit, like singing "The Morning Is Broken."
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I was not abused,
right. But that is like annoying, and that's something you did, like you dealt with, and now you're doing it again.
Like, dumb jokes, like when my daughter picks her ass, I say the shit my mom used to say, which was, "Are you going to the movies? Because you're picking your seat." She used to make that joke once a day, because I literally pick my ass once a day, and now it just. Like, all that dumb hack stuff comes out.
Oh, yeah. My dad's big joke was if we were ever, like, being problematic or acting bad, he would go, "You like hospital food?" Or, "I hope you."
Scary.
I hope your mother has a black dress for your funeral.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's the kind of shit he would
that's
say.
That's terrifying.
His big quote was, "Do you want something to cry about?" And anytime one of us would cry.
Oh, my
yeah,
God.
That was the biggest, the scariest one.
So then how do you, it's interesting, like, you're, what do you think your relationship with your dad would be like now?
It would be so distant.
Yeah.
Like, just moving out to California, like, I lived in Brooklyn for a few years before he passed away. And, you know, I saw him every once in a while or whatever. But, like, we wouldn't, like, get on the phone yeah. and catch up or anything like that. I couldn't even begin to imagine. I kind of saw it a little bit with, like, Tiff's dad didn't really leave the house all too much. Like, I mean, he worked and stuff like that, but he didn't, like, leave his comfort zone all too much. My dad was kind of like that, too. I couldn't picture my dad, like, coming out to California frequently.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I think my mom's only been out here once since I moved out here because she has some fear of flying, quote unquote.
She goes on cruises to Charleston.
She'll fly anywhere if it's under 4 hours. Okay. After four hours, I get scared. Oh my God, seems weird. That's scared. Like the exact LAX
yeah,
cutoff.
How convenient.
I'm like, oh cool, have a layover in Dallas yeah. and just come.
You can figure it out.
Yeah. I've come home and now you're gonna get me started on something I have issues. I've been home 50 times since I moved out.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. Parents are tricky. Like, it gets hard when they get yeah. especially when they get older and really set in their ways.
Right. And then it's also like, I don't care if you don't come out. But you can't give me shit for not coming home all the time.
No.
And we just, this year, booked a we're not going home for Christmas.
It's the sweetest experience to not travel over Christmas.
We're traveling.
Oh, where are you going?
Paris and Barcelona.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, fuck it, dude. We've had a crazy year. You know, Tiff's dad died. And we were yeah. like, fuck this. Let's get out of here.
No, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the nice thing about becoming an independent adult. With means is that you don't have to, you're not beholden to them.
I got that so early in my life because like we all kind of, once you found UCB you were like, I gotta get to the city. People are hanging out because I lived within an hour of the city growing yeah. up, and I'm like, once I started hanging out in the city, I'm like, fuck Long Island Railroad. I gotta be in like Brooklyn yeah. and I gotta be out till 4 a.m. 3 nights a week. This is the life. Right? Didn't you say I was like upset that I lived with my parents still, because I'm like, I'd rather live like shit on my own just based on the peers I was making at UCB. I was like, what? You live in the smallest apartment in the East Village? That's hysterical. Let's go hang out.
Oh, yeah. My God. When I met, or right before I met Anthony, one of his roommates was literally living in a crawl space in their apartment. Like, they had a kind of like a Harry Potter closet, and that's where his friend was living. Like, people,
Dippold and Moses have like that famous East Village apartment
too?
Oh, that
apartment was so weird.
Walked in the bedroom door and the only thing in the room was a bed, and it filled like
there was also no living room. If I remember correctly, she had a kitchen. It was a really tiny East Village yeah. apartment that Katie had.
Yeah, yeah, then I think Jesse Cantrell lived there and then made a web series about it.
Possibly.
Sold a Comedy Central pilot called Tiny Apartment.
Oh, good for her. Congratulations. Yeah. 10 years late.
Wow, yeah. here's a crazy something we thought the other day. I was like not feeling well. I've been sick this last 2 weeks. And I just had like this random thought where I was like, Tiff, both of our dads have died in less than 20 years from now for us. You know what I mean? Like, they yeah. both died before 55. Tiff and I are 35.
Tiff's dad was younger than 55?
Maybe he was almost 60. Maybe he was
yeah,
a little bit older.
But that's still really young.
But because she's 35. He was maybe 60. Because her parents had her particularly young.
Okay.
And I was like, we can't die in 20 years.
No, I think
we don't even have kids yet.
Yeah.
And we want to. I can't die. If I knocked her up tonight and we had a kid, and we died in 20 years, the kid would be like 19.
Yeah, I think about, I kind of had kids, or we had kids a little earlier than our peer group. Yeah. We were one of the first people
for
that we
like
knew.
for the city broke comedy.
Yeah, cultures, for like for New York, for even my college friends, and then for like the comedy world. I was 30, I think, when I had my first, or 31 when my I had my first kid. But I was just like, I got to fucking.
I think you were the first like pregnant friend, right? I think
one of them. Yeah. And I just felt like I had to do it because my mom died. She got cancer at 56 and died at 57.
Yeah.
And that's not that long from now. Like
no.
I'm 38. And I think about that all the time where I'm like, well, like how am I going to feel when I turn, if I make it to 56 and it's like that, the death year, you know right. what I mean? Where you make it to your parents' death year.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And I have friends whose parents died even young, you know, like 38 or 39. And that's yeah. just such a fucking
that
a scary
shit,
feeling.
That shit twists me even more. I was 30 when I had to deal with my dad's death or 29 or whatever. Then you hear about people who were 14 when they're like,
yeah, it's awful.
I have like, I'm going to leave names out of this, but I have a close friend who's parents died both while she was in high school, like 8 months apart.
Jesus.
Oh, two completely different reasons, two completely different circumstances. And it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't even imagine that. Like, no. That sounds, I'm sure, I know. And that's the other thing, too, is like, we're sitting here saying, like, our parents living to 50 something is a blessing to a lot of other
it
people.
It is. Yeah. It so is.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing I gained perspective after my mom died was I knew friends whose parents had died in high school, and I had zero way of empathizing or sympathizing. I had just never lost anyone. There's no way to even wrap your head around.
I was
that.
Like, oh, that's like my best friend Sanford, who's shouted out on this podcast a lot. His dad died while we were in college, and I was like, oh man, this is a bummer, huh? Crazy.
Right, right. You just don't know.
Well, you also don't even have like a dynamic with your friend's parents that much either. So you're just like, oh, they're gone. That's something I hear you talk about.
Yeah.
But then it happens to you and you're like, I can't believe you went through this when you were 20.
That's how I felt was I then, after my mom died, looked at everyone I knew who had been through this much younger than me and was like, I don't know how you survived that.
Yeah. And I'm sorry if I was not cool.
Yeah.
Or more helpful.
Because it's so isolated. I felt really alone when my mom got sick and died. Because I didn't really know many people who had been through that. And
right.
I still don't. I still don't have... It's starting to happen more, and I've made friends with people whose parents have died. But
yeah.
Like, a lot of my friends have both their parents, you know? And so to deal with that when you're a fucking kid, it's just got to be the most isolating experience in the world.
I went on my... Yeah, fuck. I went on my bachelor party with five other guys. My two brothers and my three best friends.
Okay.
This was a month after my dad, or 2 months after my dad died.
Must have been festive.
So it was. We went to Germany, and so we were like...
Oh, you did.
And was like, fuck it. We're just spent... I think we booked it when my dad died. We were like, fuck it. Let's go to Germany. Let's make a deal. We do huge... I'll get into more stuff in a second, but... When we got there, we realized my two best friends, Justin Tyler and this aforementioned Sanford, mm-hmm. both of their dads had died before mine.
So there was only one guy in the
only
trip with
one
a dad.
Guy. Yeah, and we were like, we kept making these jokes like to dead dads, and then we would like, Pat, put your beer down.
Yeah, you don't get to participate.
I'm sorry,
Pat.
Your dad's alive. We don't want to hear it. And he'd be like, come on, please, like joking around. But it was like one of those moments. And then Jason. One day I was, my youngest brother, Jason, I went home, I was home hanging out. They were smoking weed on the back deck. I come
like
out to hang out with him. And he goes, John, look around this table. My brother is 7 years younger than me. He's like, look around this table, find out what we have in common.
Ugh.
And I was like, this kid's dad died in 9/11. This kid's dad died like a year before my, holy shit. Do we all have dead dads? And was like, we didn't even realize that there was eight guys hanging out in the backyard, all with dead dads.
Wow. That's a lot. Yeah, that is intense.
And it's weird how it happens. Or maybe is it like chicken egg, like a group of guys whose dads died, they find themselves hanging out with each other more. Because...
Yeah, then you're like, what is the thing about us?
Yeah. What do we have in common? I mean, we both love Dungeons and Dragons, but...
but also...
Yeah.
And then you can go through like... I mean, this sounds really fucked up, but there's also the scale I find of like the scale of worst deaths.
Yeah.
I mean, because you just mentioned a 9/11 dad, like, that's worse than my cancer mom.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and it's hard to tell, like, is it? Who knows? Like,
it's all bad.
It's
I feel
all
like
bad.
A public tragedy.
The second you start getting into measuring trauma,
it's
like,
crazy.
Yeah.
But I think I do, that is something I think about, because, like, when I wrote my book, you know, I'm writing from the perspective of someone who lost a mom from cancer. I have no idea what it's like to one day have a perfectly healthy parent and the next day have them die in a car accident or have a heart attack and keel over, you know, and that right. is
there's something fucking, about being able to prepare yourself.
There was some level of like knowing it was coming. That in a moment kind of death is just so
it seems terrifying.
Unimaginable to me. And maybe, you know, but also having someone like slowly deteriorate of a chronic illness, also terrible. There's no winner.
Right.
Best death.
There's,
but it is interesting to just think about.
We should do an episode where we just rank, get a bunch of people who's
dead
had
dead
parents or sick others die, sit around and we just hash out, like we argue over whose was more.
Yeah, we line up in order of best to worst.
And then kill ourselves.
Well, we did it.
Guys, we figured it out. Yep. Life sucks. Turns out, poof, oh no.
Because it is all terrible.
It's all terrible. And people die. That sucks. People dying before they're supposed to is very hard. And then, like, it really points to your own mortality.
Yeah. I really grapple with that a lot, like with my kids.
You find yourself being way healthier since?
It comes and goes.
Yeah.
A weird thing that happened was, so my mom had pancreatic cancer, and within the 5 to 8 years after she died, both our across the street neighbors also died of pancreatic cancer.
Your childhood neighbors?
Childhood neighbors. So there are three, like a triangle of houses. One from each house died of pancreatic cancer, two men and then my mom. Wow. So that was spooky and probably just a coincidence, but there, you know, my mom was super healthy. She had none of the kind of
markers.
For pancreatic. So not that there are any, it's kind of a fluke, but it makes you think about like the fact that we wash our dishes in like toxic soap.
Yeah. Well, but it makes you also think about like both of our parents died from something that had nothing to do with their health.
Nothing.
So it's almost like you can swing either way where you could say like, I'm going to be super healthy
because
I want to live long. Or you're going to say, I'm going to jam as much life as I can in case I'm walking down the street and a fucking air conditioner falls out of a building and
I mean, this
knocks
is the,
your fucking head off.
This is the crapshoot that you could be vegan because you don't want to eat red meat, which causes heart disease, and then someone could run you over. I mean, it's just
right. A cow could just stampede you.
Yeah, that's how
the irony is like a cow crushes your head with a hoof.
At least it's hilarious.
This will be a good story.
My grandfather lived until he was like 91. He outlived my mom. And he had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma at one point in his life and smoked his pipe through his whole chemo treatment. And then he finally quit smoking when he was like 80 something. You know what I mean? So it's like,
yeah.
What
can you do?
My
big thing was, my dad didn't read books because I don't have the time. I got to go to work. I got to read the paper. I got to know what's going on. So he had this bookshelf. People would give him books. My dad was he had a GED, but he was very smart. He was like he dropped out of, he was a high school dropout, but he was like very smart, very well read, knew a lot about the world. And he never read a book, but he had all these books saved up, all these Yankees, like my dad was a Yankees and Giants fan. Sorry.
That's okay. I'll let your dead dad have that. We'll hold it against him.
Well, yeah, he's not missing much with either the Yankees or the Giants, right? Oh, no. The Yankees were excited.
They did okay.
Aaron, my dad would love Aaron Judge. My dad loves any like giant. I mean, Aaron Judge isn't white, but any giant white guy who succeeds in sports, my dad really dug. Probably a holdover of some racism.
Yeah, a little tinge.
But he had this bookshelf full of books, and he's like, "One day when I'm retired, I'm gonna just sit on the beach and read all these books." And that sticks with me so hard of like, fuck, what are you waiting for?
Yeah. Oh, that. Like that
it's like so crazy to imagine, like, because I do hear myself saying stuff like that. I'm like, well, you know, we'll be able to travel way more once we're older and and it's like, can you? What if you don't live?
I think Anthony's parents were planning they were planning a trip, I think, when his mom passed away.
Oh.
And yeah, I think about that a lot because like his dad had just retired and then his mom died
he's just, I'm projecting again, obviously, but just setting up for this like new part of his life.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we're retired. What are we going to do? And then,
this is Anthony's dad. Yeah. And so that, I think about that a lot of like, there's no, you just have to do it now if you can. You know, if you have the ability.
My mom always talks about, you know, she's always like, we had these plans. We had all these plans. And I was like, oh my God, right.
Yeah.
And fuck, dude, what's the expression? If you want to make God laugh, make plans.
I don't know, but that sounds,
I think that's
right.
Something like that. I'm like, now I'm just reading throw pillows from my aunt's house.
It's beautiful.
But I think it is like, if you want to make God laugh, make a plan.
Yeah.
Because he's like, don't bother. No, anything can happen at any moment.
I think that's so true. I mean, now have we traveled to Japan with my children like I want to do? No, because that sounds like a fucking
that
nightmare.
That sounds insane.
That will cost $1 million. But there is that.
But also at the same time, what are you saving money for?
College.
Right. Right. That's a little I guess it's a little different once you have kids. But I'm saying, like,
I know, why are you hoarding all this money when you could go at any time?
Right. Yeah. Not that you're sitting on like a fucking
piles of cash.
You got that Scrooge McDuck room, which I think was a waste.
No.
I think it's really having a negative effect on your child's view of money.
So? Think my kids are gonna be assholes.
I think your kids might grow up to be a little obnoxious because you have that one room
but
in your house that's filled with money.
They slide down gold coins, so it's fine.
To be fair, yeah, that's sort of, that actually might make them fit in a lot of LA schools.
Oh my God. That's another show. This town.
But at the same time, it's like, you're like, oh, I'll go to Japan with my daughters when they're in their 20s.
Right.
And then... God forbid, right?
No, my mom was doing this thing where she was going to every presidential library. And I think she had only been to like 3, but I was going to try to do one with her. And then she got sick. And then it was like, she can't go. Like, she couldn't eat solid food once they found the tumor. And so it was like, well, all that shit I had wanted to do with her is just gone. You know, it's just gone. And that is...
It seems like a fun. It seems like a fun tribute if you go to fucking.
I've thought about it, but you know what? Clearly,
it's also not that exciting.
No, there's a Ronald Reagan Library 45 minutes from here, and I have not gone in the 6 years I've lived here. So I'm a terrible daughter. But you know, like there is my brother's fiance and her dad are going to every ballpark in America.
See, that's
isn't
awesome.
Isn't that cute? And they've done it. They've like actually successfully done almost all of them.
I will say the one. Positive thing that happened, the one positive, of course, my life has been rather good, but my mom never really flew. I never flew with my family, only with like a friend a couple of times until I was like 20. My mom's got over, she took fear of flying classes, got over it, and we started flying, but she still couldn't fly that far.
Right, 4 hours.
4 hours. Now, this was back when it was like 3 was the ideal.
Okay.
And we are a beach family. So we just went to every Caribbean island.
Oh, that's cool.
Like Thanksgiving and February, those two college breaks. I mean, I was living in Brooklyn at like 23 and my mom be like, we're going to go to Aruba for Thanksgiving. I'm like, I'm going to come. And like Tiffany is like, how am I not getting invited on these family vacations? I was like, look, sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm going. And we got to go away to like, we've literally, and this was in the, you know, five or 6 years before my dad passed in this time, we went to Aruba, Bahamas twice, Puerto Rico twice, Mexico once, Dominican Republic. And like a lot of times with like a layover in Georgia, you know what I mean? Like we're flying 2 90-minute flights because that's the only thing my mom could handle. And we did so much of that I'm like, I have that for the rest of my life. Thank God. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, I had a really... like it's terrible that my mom died and I hate it and it changed my life, but I had a really awesome mom, so I feel like I at least got a great mom for 27 years rather than
what's the point of having a shitty mom for 50?
Yeah, I mean, right? Like, a lot of people are dealing with parents who are terrible, so you know that's the silver lining for me, I guess.
I say this joke a lot in my like I always say something to the effect of like, well, if you have dad issues, one way to like not have to ever really deal with them is to have them pass away. Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
Very
like
convenient.
My dad was kind of annoying. We didn't get along that well. We butted heads on a lot of things. And then he passed away and I'm like, oh, nothing's
sad? Were you sad?
I was sad. I was really sad, but I was more like, I don't know how to explain this. I feel like I was sad for like, I knew what it meant more than like, my day-to-day life wasn't going to change almost at all. You know what I mean? And that's like not something you want to even realize. It's like, oh, shit.
Right. They weren't that much a part of my life.
Yeah. And then it's like kind of a bummer. And then it's like, oh, now my mom is, sadder and harder to deal with. Oh, and going to like sibling dynamics, things change amongst my siblings because I was living in Brooklyn.
And you have two brothers?
I have two younger brothers. One was super young and he went through, it took him the hardest. It like reset him maturation wise. But my middle brother like kind of just like slipped into the dad role.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And so, because he still lives on Long Island. He still lives near my mom. And now he's so much like my dad, more so than he's ever been in his life. He was always, a little bit like my dad. But in like the last six, 7 years. But in the last, now he is a dad. He has a kid. And he has become my father.
In the good ways?
In a good way, but in also the way where it's like, this is not exactly, you were more fun, now you're kind of a little bit more like, but he like slid into it in a way where he like took on the stress, took on the Jesus Christ Joanne of it, right? All, you know? Yeah. What I mean? And it was like, it was really weird to go home after a while and see that, and like see him, and but it turns out someone has to.
Yeah,
like someone needs to step up and fucking make shit happen. And I'm now like, despite being the oldest and, you know what I mean, I've been married the longest and all that stuff, but now I'm like the child of the family because I live in California and I rent, even though my youngest brother is like, my youngest brother is like a fucking handsome, like stud male bimbo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And he lives with my mom and I'm still like the child of my house.
I mean, it's weird, the dynamics that come out, right? Like,
yeah, it's like the weird power vacuum. Like all of a sudden, it's like someone needs to step up. Turns out, dad did everything. Someone needs to step up and do that.
Yeah, that's fascinating. My mom left handwritten instructions that she taped all over the house so we would know what to do. And that, are you gonna cry?
No, that's so sweet.
It was really sweet. I mean,
I can only imagine what that was like for her. That's when I'm like putting myself in her spot.
I mean, she was so practical in a way. But it's like, you know, the light bulbs for the downstairs bathroom are these ones. And then she was like, if the AC stops working, call this number. I mean, it was just everywhere.
Like, don't you want to be like, mom, this, don't worry about this with your last minutes. But then also, is it what makes her happy? Is it what makes her comfort?
I think it probably made her feel like she was taking care of us.
Right.
And
right.
Could, and she, like, she just was.
She knows what she did. She knows what she, what was she required ran, of her as part of the family dynamic.
She ran that place. I mean, we were all literally like flailing idiots after she died. I mean, it just felt like I was untethered. Cause I'm like a woman child. And my mom told me how to do everything. Even now I like want to call her because I don't know what to do with my kids, and it's like I don't know how to do anything by myself.
Yeah, like I don't know shit about like cars or insurance, like,
yes, that you kind can of
live,
shit
you can, and also here's the crazy thing, you can live in New York City, turns out, and never really learn a lot because like everything is,
it's done for you by the city.
It's so much stuff is done for you by the city because you can't afford to have a home. You don't have a yard. You don't have anything.
You don't have a car.
Yeah. You call someone if anything goes wrong in your apartment because you're paying fucking through the nose to live there.
Very true.
So I didn't realize that I moved to LA and my fucking car doesn't start one day. And I'm like, I don't even know what I did. I call the fucking, you know, you get like the roadside assistance. They come over and they're like, your battery's dead.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
You just need to jump. And I'm like, yeah, no, I knew that. And I'm like, if I had my dad was alive. Like, I blame a lot of me not knowing how to use tools and stuff on my dad dying.
I think it's true. I mean, there's a weird, would you have ever learned that stuff were they alive? I don't know. That's not what matters.
Right. Like, but maybe if I was out here and I was like, dad, I'm thinking about getting this car. It's a V6. Do you know any, like, I don't even know what any of that means, but like my dad would have known, you know?
And that would have been a way for you to have a relationship.
It would have been something to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my dad would have loved the idea that the comic book movies are out now. I think he would have I think he would have been pumped to be like, Johnny, this fucking Spider-Man movie's crazy, you know? Like,
he would have liked Thor Ragnarok.
I can't wait for
I don't know what any of that means.
Oh, okay.
I mean, well, I know Ragnarok was an improv team at UCB.
Well, they're named for like the afterlife for Viking warriors.
Turns out, and I know who Thor is.
Whoa. The Norse god of thunder.
Chris Hemsworth?
Yes.
Yeah.
The hottest of them all.
Is he? I think Liam is better.
What?
Liam Hemsworth is better than
him. Oh, wait. Of the Hemsworth brothers, you like Liam the best. The one from Westworld?
I never watched it. The one who dates Miley Cyrus. This is how I know who people are, who they're fucking.
Wait,
in LA.
One of them was in Hunger Games. Is that the
that's
one?
That's Liam. That's the one I like.
That's
the
one
best.
You're thinking of. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's There's the an one. Older brother who's like an yes. Australian. Yeah.
Yes, I'm familiar with
I'm a
him
Chris
too.
Hemsworth guy. I was thinking amongst just the Avengers.
Oh, okay.
So are you, that means, are you a Ruffalo? I mean,
yes. He would, what is this, like fandom or who we would like hold hands with?
Yeah, I'm asking who would you, you know, classic conversation. Who would you hold hands with out of the
Such
Avengers?
A Puritan. I'm from Boston where we don't have
it
feelings.
It is weird for two married people to say, oh, are you talking about which Avenger would you fuck?
Right.
Yeah, like, I realize also that Scarlett Johansson is one of the Avengers, so maybe I should slide away from...
No, I would make out with her. And yeah. Mark Ruffalo, he's environmentally conscious.
Yeah.
Very sensitive.
He'd be the hottest dude in Crown Heights.
Yeah, he would. He's really definitely released a statement on like the sexual harassment crisis. And
of course.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
It's only a matter of time that we find out what that sick fuck did.
Well, this is the nightmare of that situation.
The lady doth protest too much. I mean, and to be honest... I relish in people getting outed for their hypocrisy. Like
there's a lot of it. Yeah.
I love when people are like, you know, trust women, this, that, the other thing. And then like a couple of weeks later, something comes out about them and you're like, oh.
Yeah. There's a lot of like self-proclaimed male feminists who also have assaulted and abused women.
Right. Yeah. Glad we got on this topic.
We're covering all the funny stuff, guys.
Hey, problematic topics. The two people who should not be talking about this.
Nope.
The guy who's most likely to slip up and say something incorrect, and the woman who
is. Are you though, or is that your like a character game a little bit for yourself?
I think I like to say problematic beliefs. You know what I mean? I think I hold some. I find myself feeling more and more. Old school.
As you get older,
I feel like as the world is changing, I'm like, really? And then I'm like, well, and then I remember like hearing my parents say, really? And then I'm going, yeah, sorry, that's life now.
Yeah.
And so then I have to like retroactively go, I'm in my head, I'm going, really? But at the same time, yeah, I mean, it's not up to me.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. I
mean, there's a lot of like, I could easily like plant my feet on some topic and just be like, this is what we're going to fucking do now. And then I would be wrong. I like knowingly be wrong, but
yeah, old people. I feel like in my old age, I'm becoming more tuned into how to be like a better progressive person.
Oh,
but I feel that way about like pop culture and music.
Oh,
where there was something that happened where I was like, I firmly don't understand this phenomenon, and I'm not a participant. Like I'm now, I've aged out of the conversation.
Yeah, I'm a put your phone down kind of guy, and that makes me feel. That's when I feel old. Is when I'm like, babe, put your phone down. We're watching a movie. It's like, put your phone down. Watch the streaming service up here.
I can't.
This big screen.
It's very hard for me. I'm the same way.
Are you?
Yeah, I have to IMDb everybody and everything that I'm watching.
That's so funny.
Yeah, Anthony is finally, I think, at peace with it because it would make him nuts. But yeah, I was watching Stranger Things last night and I had to IMDb every single new person who's on Stranger Things.
That's so funny. I can't. It drives me fucking crazy. I often, if I'm like super high and not very into what I'm watching, I'll end up finding myself looking at my phone and be like, oh, I missed a bunch of shit.
But you miss everything. Phones are worthless. They're awful.
My wife, Tiff, insists that she can totally, she's like, I'm watching it. And I'm like, you're looking at your phone. She's like, I saw the whole thing. And then sometimes I'll be talking to her and she's on her phone. And I'm like, babe, look at me. She's like, I can hear you. And I'm like, this is, and that's when I feel old in those moments when I'm like, put the fucking phone down. Yeah.
My 6-year-old has asked repeatedly for a phone. She wants a phone.
That's got to be the craziest. I can't imagine. I mean, I'm going to have to deal with it, but like phones and parenting where it's like, I don't know if I need you to have complete access.
Here's
to
the worst part, because we're not going to get her a phone. No. The one thing we are actually good about as parents is limiting their small screens. Like they watch TV, but they never use iPads. They'd use them on plane trips and that's it, or road trips. But
right, you save it like a good like a Kong for the dog.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I need you to be quiet for 6 hours. Here you go. Here's the highest dense treat I can find.
That's it. I mean, and it works because they fucking love them. Right.
But imagine they had like iPads in their room with them or something.
I mean, but kids do. But the worst part I have found lately is being like, you know what? Screens aren't good for you, and you don't actually need one. And I would rather have you, like, it's okay to be bored. I run this whole spiel, but then I'm staring at my phone all the time in front of them. And and sooner or later they're going to call me out for the hypocrisy of it. So either I need to get better about being on my phone, or I'm going to have to, you know what I mean? Like, there is, or you can just be a hypocrite because you're the fucking parent, and that's.
But that was like my biggest problem with parenting was the hypocrisy. Yeah. As I said earlier, I have such an issue with that.
Yeah, it's gonna. It comes up.
It's hard. I could see. Hey, I have no idea how to parent or anything like that, but I would say couldn't hurt for you to put your phone down.
Me personally, yeah. Oh no, it could. I am a true. I'm 100% addicted to my phone. It's really bad.
Oh man, yeah. What games, apps, or it's like refreshing social media?
It's social media.
I find myself going in the current climate. I find myself going to Twitter for comfort, but also for rage porn.
So I was off Twitter for about 4 months. Like I gave my login info to my husband and made him change it because I was so addicted that even if I like logged out or deleted it off my phone, I would still find a way to get on it. And so I was really off it, and it was the happiest I've been in a long time.
Yeah, you find you used to log on and follow comedians to laugh. Now you follow like knowledgeable liberal progressives who are just pointing out like all the shit that's wrong with what's going on.
Just a constant. I have to hold myself back from replying to Donald Trump Jr. all the time. Right. Like, what fucking purpose does it serve if I yell at Donald Trump Jr.?
I know. Tiff gets in there. She's like, I'm just writing back to some of the stuff Trump said. I'm like, why? Who cares?
I know. There's a. It's but not does productive.
If it makes you if it's cathartic for you, then who am I to say anything?
It's not. It's more at the end. I'm like, why did I let myself have this moment meltdown publicly?
Yeah, I feel like I've been trying to limit it for that same reason too. Where like. It used to be the things I hated about social media were like the hacky fucking thirsty shit my friends were doing. And now the shit I hate about it is that I look at it and I just get riled up about the state of America. Where I was like, yesterday America was the exact same way and I was less personally upset because I just didn't know every step of the way of like how he reacted crumbling. To Bo Bergdahl, how he reacted to this.
Yeah, and ultimately you knowing those things is not going to... bring change, like truly if you want to like bring change in the world, you should be registering voters and going door to door and canvassing.
Right, there's like this intermediate step where you can keep yourself informed and angry, and you sort of DC and I talked about this one time where it's like you can easily set yourself up and lie to yourself where you establish what you consider getting things done. Like for example, a lot of with writers and comedians and stuff, you can kind of trick yourself into thinking that watching movies or watching Stranger Things is something you need to do.
Totally.
And it arguably kind of is, but then there's like that pendulum swings the other way. I think Patton Oswalt's book was called Silver Screen Fiend, and it was about when he moved to LA, he wanted to be a screenwriter and a director, and he got really addicted to watching movies, and then it like ruined his life. Like he was like a writer on Mad TV, but was like cutting out early to get to the New Beverly to go see two.
Oh, really?
To go see like two Japanese. It's really interesting, and it's like, I could see how that's what like that Twitter thing is to me, where it's like, oh, I'll read everything Seth Abramson posts or whatever and then get all riled up and then not actually do anything because I feel like I did my little part. Yeah.
Also, Twitter actually doesn't do anything. Like I made the excuse of like, I have to get back on Twitter. I got to promote my book. I need to be engaging with people, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And it's like all it's doing is getting me riled.
Yeah, I was talking about this the other day with some friends. It's like there's going to be nobody that signs up for Twitter today who rises to having a million followers.
I don't even know. Like we lived a luxurious life on social media under the Obama administration.
Right, but even like, you know, like there'll be no Rob Delaney now. The only other person
you're right.
The only other person
Kelly Oxford, those people, yeah.
You can't come up on Twitter anymore. It's too inundated.
Yeah.
And the only thing that only right now everything that people care about is political on Twitter. Yeah
it's bizarre.
Oh, I could see it's very and then you're like, oh, five new, you like scroll down for a while and then you're like, here's something. This is when I get really upset and I have to put my phone down. I'm reading Twitter. I get really far down and I'm like, oh, this seems like something I may have read yesterday. Then I refresh and there's like 25 new posts or whatever. So I read all those, then get to the stuff I just read. And I'm like, just read this. Yep. And I go all the way through back down to the thing. And I'm like, yeah, but did I really read this yesterday? And then I'm just rereading quotes on my, like, oh, Krang T. Nelson says blank, you know?
praying Tino?
Yeah, I mean, he's actually a very great follow. If Follow Friday still exists, I highly recommend following at Krang T. Nelson. He's like a lefty shit poster. You know, he's like constantly baiting alt-right people into...
I'm going to give my Follow Friday to at Electro Lemon, Demi Adichie.
Oh, fuck,
he's the funniest person on
Twitter.
He's
so good on
Twitter. And a funny person.
Yeah, he's so funny in person.
Life, but boy, he's fucking hilarious.
The dude is funny, yeah.
That
at
guy.
Electro Lemon.
Well, we did it. We gave people some FFs.
Yeah, hey, Throwback Thursdays, Flashback Fridays, and Follow Fridays.
Good news about our dead parents, they could never have been on Twitter.
My mom is a nightmare with Facebook. Thank God my dad died before. Because my dad got really into like emailing. He would send an email. Like, he would email a link and be like, love dad, L-U-V, comma. Aww. And he was like trying to be hip. And it was like, all right, pump the brakes here.
Man, he...
We can call it here, but Kate, tell us a little bit about your book. It comes out November...
Oh, it comes out November 21st. It's a real book that you can... buy on a Kindle or buy in a bookstore, or I'm recording the audiobook so you could even listen to the audiobook of my voice.
This episode will come out on the 9th, so it comes out the week after.
Perfect.
But you can pre-order it. You can pre-order it, right?
Pre-order it.
We already have it pre-ordered.
Oh, God bless
of
you.
Of course.
Yeah, it's about grief and death and losing my mom, but it is also funny because there's so much funny shit that comes along with death.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so it won't be the most depressing read you ever have in your life. It will hopefully make you laugh.
When Tiff's dad died, I sort of was there for all... It was in hospice.
Yeah.
He was dying of cancer. He was like a hardcore, blue-collar, tough guy dad. Mm. Tiff has two younger brothers. It was so similar to my dynamic. I got there and I was like... I felt like Neo in the Matrix. I was like, oh my God, I know exactly how this is going to go.
Yeah.
And I started just being like, seeing, and I was like, get prepared for this. And I'm like, found all these moments of levity for everyone. And I was like, oh, I'm so thankful I'm here to be able to do this. You know, the biggest thing no one ever tells you of when your parents die is like, get prepared to have to deal with every single person you've ever met looking you in the eye, crying and holding, like, your suit jacket just has aunt makeup all over it. You know, like everyone would grab both your arms and go, Kate, she was a wonderful woman, and like look you in the eyes and you're like, yes, who are you? You're like the lady that she did Pilates with, you know?
I mean, that was a fascinating...
It's so crazy how other people's grief is like, they bring it to you and they're like, isn't it depressing? You're like, yo, I've been processing this for like 6 months. The funeral is so far past me dealing with the death.
Well, my mom didn't want anyone at her funeral. It was just her immediate family. So I didn't have to go through that. But I did have to like tell random people in her life, like I had to call her trainer, who she was really good friends with. And I had to tell the dog groomer who cried. And it was like... And they're not, it's not that they're being selfish by having emotions, but it's more like, holy shit, you have to relive this grief over and over again.
People don't know
again.
That, and you're just standing at the wake in the receiving line as people walk past you.
I'm so glad I didn't have to do
come
that.
Come up to you, fucking germ all over you, tears and snot, and like coughing and holding your hands, and like random old ladies going, he was a real sweet, the big joke was, he'd be like, they would be like to my mom and me, he was the nicest man, and the person would walk away and my mom would be like, she didn't fucking know John. Like, my dad wasn't like nice. Like, no one would have called him that. Some people were like, he was the nicest. We're like, no, he wasn't.
He was a monster.
Turns out he was nice to the fucking deli lady.
Probably. Yeah. I mean,
he probably was. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I that's having, it's exhausting having to be that person when you're also grieving, and it just is what happens. It's just, you are that for a lot of people.
I know. But it's made me more self-conscious when someone else is else is going through something. I'm like, I've got like the exact dynamic of like, you let me know if you need anything from me.
Yeah.
I'm here for you, thinking of you later.
Yeah, you give them space.
And I throw a smoke bomb, disappear.
Flyer Kate.
Are you Kate Likes You on Twitter?
I'm not.
No.
That's my AIM. No, you can keep it in. That's my AOL handle for when I was on Instant Messenger.
Oh, Instant Messenger is dying.
I know, but you know what? It's good because with it go all my embarrassing screen names. One, the first one I tried, my first one was DVD Sky 420, Just a fish reference. Also, I don't
My
smoke
first
pot.
One was Surf Rat 69.
Oh, that's awful. That's awful. What does that even mean?
Surf Rat was like a young kid who was into surfing, which was me. And then 69 was I must have just learned what it was.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
I wore number 69 in my ninth grade soccer.
On purpose?
Yeah, I chose it.
Oh, and gross. My dad I would have been so scared of you in high school.
You should have been. Oh, I was gross. And I didn't even fully know what it was. I just like knew it was sexual. Like, yeah, I know. I was obnoxious.
Oh, man. I went to an all-girls school for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Just
luckily.
To not have to
for
know that.
For 69ing only.
For 69ing. That's why I went.
Chicks can do it, too. It's 2017. Women doing it for themselves. What's your Twitter handle?
It is at Kate Spencer. I'm at Kate Spencer on Twitter, Instagram.
And either follow you there and then be prepared for you not to post for 6 months at a time.
I am tweeting. Follow me if you want to talk to somebody about your grief. I love talking to people about
it. Yeah, if anyone, and that's usually something we do on the episode. If anyone wants to tweet at us about their dead parent story or something that goes along with like what we're talking about with like any advice you can give to friends or people dealing with it.
I love it. I love
tweet at both
about
of us. I'm at John Gabris, no H's. She's at Kate Spencer, no H's in any of those either. The book is called Dead Mom's Club.
The Dead Mom's
Pre-order
Club.
Pre-order it now on Amazon.
Do it.
Or whatever gets Kate the most royalty high.
Yeah, I mean, if you love an independent bookseller, go that way. But I think Amazon is the behemoth.
Amazon's
going to
be the way. Hopefully people are listening to this on their phone and just opening up Amazon while we're talking.
It's so
ideal.
Makes it so easy.
You're getting that fucking high and mighty bump, sweetheart.
Oh, girl. Thank you.
One lunatic.
I'll take it. I will be in good company.
Kate, thank you so much for coming on and what could have been a depressing conversation.
I think we kept it light.
I feel like we have these conversations all. Also, I'm going to plug something that is so random, but once a month in LA, you host a show called Shut Up, I Hate You.
Oh, yeah, it's the best.
One of my favorite shows to watch and definitely my favorite show to be on.
I always am so nervous when I ask you because I ask you to do it so much, but you're
a
great
guest. I could not convey more that it's like, and it's just people sharing their opinions on like shit that's gone on that month, and you and Anthony are two of my favorites, so it's so fun to do that.
Yeah, come check it out. If you
live
in LA,
check out Shut Up, I Hate You. Buy the book. I'm at John Gabris on Twitter. Buy t-shirts at gabris.com/shirts. New shirts coming to the store soon.
Oh, thank God.
Listen to Action Boys on Patreon.
Gotta listen to Action Boys, Ben Rogers.
November 8th launches mine and Lauren Lapkus's new podcast on Earwolf called Raised by TV.
Legit excited about it. Love the promo photos you guys are doing.
Having a blast. Working with Lapkus is so exciting.
She's so great.
Because she's very talented, but more than that, I've never worked with someone who cares.
She's great. Yeah, she really does. She's
like,
really
I'm like, she's like, no, we should have cool pictures or we should go do something. I'm like, oh, to me, I'm just like, eh, I don't know. I mean, if I can put a fucking GIF up.
she really organized and helmed a book club I was in for many years.
Makes sense. Yeah. It feels like she's like one of those people who is good at making fun things happen.
Yeah, she's like organized, but also chill.
Yes.
Yeah.
She would we call that the dippled attribute?
Katie Dippold, organized but chill?
More organized than chill.
Katie loves to organize things, but then torment you as part of the organizing when it is Halloween.
I didn't pay for that Buca di Beppo meal like right away by accident. I totally forgot. And she sent me a picture of Al Pacino as Scarface sitting in a chair and said, give me my money.
I mean, Katie Dippold, if you don't know, is like the star of one of the most viral photos on Twitter of her.
I'm upset. I retweet it all the time. It's her as the Babadook.
Oh, it's the best. Like, so in that way, she's not chill. She commits really hard to her passion, which is scaring people.
Yeah. Her Halloween. House had like a zombie in the bathroom this year.
Oh, yeah. Anthony told me I couldn't go, but Anthony told me he went to go get the key to go into her house that was in a tent. And then when he got out of the tent, there was a man she had hired to scare people dressed as Jason. I mean, she just, I don't know, are we supposed to be revealing her secrets? I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. She's a very talented, funny
good
writer,
friend.
Good friend,
yeah,
and
she best.
Loves to scare people, and it's awesome.
Yeah. We did a tiny mini episode about Katie Dippold.
We've now follow Friday, Electro Lemon, Krang T. Nelson, and arguably Katie Dippold.
And
as
maybe
well.
Lapkus, too. Oh, also a great follow.
But more importantly, me and Kate Spencer rule. Fuck everyone else.
Screw those people.
Thanks for coming on, Kate.
Thank you for having me.
Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.